Securities and Advisory Services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA SIPC.
Good morning, Connecticut. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement. I'm stuttering this morning. I haven't watched TV all week, and people are looking at me like, why are you smiling? It's because I don't watch television during the week when I'm working, but I fire up the Facebook, and no, I haven't learned my lesson. I fired up the Facebook, and I read the comments, and I go, man, people are really, really fired up about this. And I always look to see who's benefiting and who isn't and go from there. This is a Retirement Life and Investing Show. My name is Dennis O'Brien. I'm president of O'Brien Retirement in Mystic, Connecticut, exit 90, down from the Steak Loft. And I also have the Retirement 10 Commandments I will send to you if you go to my site, obrienretire.com, and you want to start a conversation about your own situation, which I am mostly concerned about, not all this politics stuff. But let's touch on it a little bit. As I read everything, what's going on and everything else, I think it's all about the midterm elections, okay? Nothing else matters. That's why all this posturing's going on TV, radio, whatnot. Trump will let the left dump Kavanaugh to get his base angered to the polls if that's what it takes. I know you think it's cold. I know many of you think it's wrong. But the bottom line is it's about the midterm elections. And then he'll nominate that lady that they really hate. Careful what you want for people on the left, because you may get it and then regret it. Also, he doesn't want to push Kavanaugh too hard because the left will rise up and take away Congress if they get agitated enough. Because remember, all elections are about turnout. Okay? Poor Mr. Kavanaugh, who probably knows this, but figures he can only wait and see. The politics of personal destruction have risen to a new level, and it's disheartening to watch. Maybe elections only matter if one side wins. Remember, elections matter sometimes, so I'm being a little bit sarcastic. But really, what was the biggest news of the week in my mind? There's only one story that mattered. The Fed raised the rates this week. And lost in all the hubbub about the Supreme Court nomination, the big story that went relatively unnoticed, you know, in the general media, not in the financial media, but in the general media, was the Fed raised the rates a quarter point. Some people say, what's 25 basis points? What does that matter? Well, this story really does matter because I think the Fed is using the excuse to normalize rates. That's their big line, which in Washington speak, it means we're putting our heads in the sand and pretending everything is normal so we can raise rates to keep inflation at bay. I think they're acting like idiots and acting political, in my view. They know that the American middle class is under severe pressure and have not received wage increases. They know Trump is trying to grow their wages by fighting the Chinese and others through tariffs. They know the banks can't lend out to crank things up like in the past. So why are they raising rates? Because I think they think they're fighting inflation, but all they're doing is hurting regular Americans without dealing with the real issues, which are trade imbalances and deficit spending. Not a word from the Fed on that. All they're trying to do, are they trying to throw the midterms to the other side? Since 08-09, I do not trust them. And when they let a primary dealer go into bankruptcy in 2008, 7 weeks before a presidential election, you shouldn't either. So keep an eye on the Fed. And the interesting thing is the two-year went up to a 284 on the yield, but the 10-year actually has gone down in yield a little bit to 306. So the yield curve is flattening, and that means watch, 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 because one or two more increases and the yield curve could go negative, and that is telling me that things are really slowing down, because 10-year tells you what the economy's doing. The two-year tells you what they think the Fed's going to do. And the two intersect, and the economy yield goes below what the Fed yield is, that's restrictive. And they claim they're accommodative, but we have to watch that. So after the Trump speech at the UN was especially noteworthy for one reason for me, okay? I mean, he said a lot of things, but he singled out OPEC for oil price increases, which he feels are manipulated. The Saudis and Russians can sure use the money. Trump knows the fastest way to slow down a Western economy is to raise oil over $100 a barrel. It's a giant tax and would force me to cut back the risk in my portfolios. So be aware of this. As many of you are aware, I run three portfolios in my business: income, tactical, and millennial. Since the Fed's raised the rates, the income portfolio is very attractive in my view because the prices have come down a little bit, leading to higher yields. It beats leaving your money in the bank, earning over time much less. I love cash flow for retirees because we do not have to be hostage to the ups and downs of the general stock market, and over time, the cash flow earned insures against any price declines we see. Prices on the income portfolio change with rates, and when too high, I sell them. When they get too low, in my view, I'm an aggressive buyer. They are investments and need to be monitored like any other. So basically, in English, what I'm telling you is that the Fed raised the rates, the income portfolio went down a little bit, and the yields are more attractive. So if you think the Fed is almost done, start looking at some of the yields. Give me a call, and we'll give you some alternatives to the bank, and very, very little. The banks will be paying a little bit more, but that's not enough to really keep the money there and whatnot. If you have any questions, feel free to call in at 860-464-9490. I welcome your phone calls, and we can go from there. Since the Fed's raised the rates, speaking of which, we're seeing an ad on TV that's pitching investments that participate in the upside of the stock market but stop you of any risk if it goes down. I love watching these ads and finding out what the catch is because it sounds so good. You can get all the upside and none of the downside. I am guessing that this product, because he's advertising on TV, which is very expensive, and the product he's pushing, remember product pushers, must have high commissions and high costs to you, the investor. If it is, as I suspect, an index annuity, please stay away. Why? Like most annuities, the annual charges run over 300 basis points a year, which is 3% in English. So you're behind 3% just from the beginning. And sometimes they have a back-end charge to you that locks you up for 8 to 10 years if you're unlucky. It sounds good, but what they're promising is something for nothing, which never works. If true, it'll never go down. It might creep up over time, but you're better buying U.S. Treasuries than being liquid. Okay? These things have been averaging 2 to 3% at most, but your money does not go to pay for someone else's boat or exotic car. Trust me, these are not good for you in the long run. And I would soon jump off the highest building in town and sell this stuff to you. Indexed annuities are illiquid. They tie your money up. They don't pay very much over time because in order to give you the guarantee, they have to put in very expensive contracts on your money. And once again, they're made so they can be sold, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily good for you. If you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments or like to make an appointment to sit down and talk, give me a ring at 860-415-9614 during the week, or go to my website, obrienretire.com, and I'll send you my Retirement 10 Commandments, and we can start a conversation. Look forward to speaking with any one of you if I can help. Be back in a few minutes. Thank you. Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island. Hope everybody's well and enjoying the beautiful day. The forecast looks good for the next 10 days from what I can see. So I hope everybody's out there and everything's drying out nicely, and hopefully people didn't have too much drainage problems and whatnot. Kind of a sad story I just want to relate to you. I went to visit someone this week, and the gentleman, unfortunately, is not doing well. Him and his wife are in their 60s, and you know, I think he's resigned to it, looking into his eyes, but he asked a lot of good questions. They were introduced to me, and they were just lovely, lovely people. And his grandchildren live on the next hill. And he says the happiest thought, the happiest part of his life is seeing those three boys run down the hill to him. He says it's the most wonderful thing he's ever seen, and he never gets tired of it and whatnot. The reason I'm relating the story to you is he made a mistake when he went to retire. And the reason I'm telling you this story is because I don't want you to make the same mistake. Okay, he retired relatively young. But when he retired, he made the mistake of doing the single life annuity instead of the joint. And so at the time, needed the money, understood. Wife was working, making good money. But now, when he goes, the wife's going to lose, you know, I don't know how much it is, maybe $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month in that pension. And he told me several times he feels so, so guilty about it. And I said, well, I said, let me look at it in this point. You raised great kids. You have a wonderful wife. You have a house with no debt. All in all, money in the bank. And part of that money will be recouped because she'll get the higher Social Security, which would be his. But the point of the thing is that other than that mistake he made, he has done a wonderful job with his life. Family came first. Wonderful man. An immigrant to this country. Worked hard. While I'm there, for the hour I was there, family is calling in. Kids are calling in. Uncles are calling in. And you could just feel the warmth of the house and the room and whatnot. So I said, you are a wealthy man beyond measure. And he smiled and he looked at me, you know, a little sad. But the point of the story is that, you know, when I open accounts and I really, really want to get to know you and your situation, the good, the bad, the ugly, it's a no judgment zone. I don't judge. What is, the mistakes you've made. I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. But what can we do? How can we set her up? So when he goes, how will she be in good shape? Well, money in the bank. Maybe we can earn a little more dividends coming in on that. Any debts, any car debts, maybe we can get those paid off before he goes on. There's a lot of things we can do to get it ready and keep down the stress level for her when that happens. So I went up to visit. Usually people come in to see me, but I went up to visit them mainly because I knew he wasn't well, and it would be a real burden on her to try to get her down to domestic to visit. So I did that, and I'm glad I did, because you really get to know someone when you see them in their home and house. So so the reason I'm telling the story is if you still have a pension, if you're a municipal worker, state worker, you're going to have a higher pension. If you worked a long time for a bigger company, you may have a pension. They're still out there. When you go to fill out that annuity choice, okay, which choice to pick, make sure in 99% of the cases it should be joint, and don't worry about the amount coming in. I've had people come in about to sign the single, and I looked at them and go, why? And the reasons were dumb. Oh, I'm going to get a little bit more, and they're going to buy insurance. Who'd you talk to? You're going to buy insurance with the additional amount. And we had a come to Jesus moment. We talked about it. And it turned out to be total, total BS. No, you're not taking that so somebody could sell you an insurance policy with an extra premium. That's absolutely no, don't do that. And I had people come in and tell me that, and I just went, no. There was an exception. A couple of months ago, somebody came in, and she has a very large 401k, and he's self-employed. And she says, well, I'm going to take the single life because if I go first, he's going to get that very large 401k. And I looked at their debt levels and everything else, and I said, that makes sense. That makes sense. Because, you know, it was just a unique situation. But without that, for the most part, most of the time, please take the double life annuity. It's a little bit less monthly, but you'll adjust. Okay? So I wanted to pass on that story because this is real life. You know, and these stories stay with me, and I think about them for days and nights afterwards. Did I give them the right advice? Did I forget to say something? because it really affects me, and I want to do a good job for them. Okay. So, guess why I'm mad at Jennifer Garner and Tom Selleck? I'm mad as heck at them. Okay? They're very well off. Might even call them probably wealthy, although I don't know their financial situation. So why are they pitching on TV? Jennifer is pitching credit cards. Shame on her. And Tom is pitching reverse mortgages. Shame on him. Okay? What you have to realize is the debt industry in this country is the most profitable by far in this country. They have one mission, to get you hooked on debt before you know any better. So the rest of your life, you're living paycheck to paycheck. So I'm on a one-man crusade to reverse this trend. Will you join me? Will you preach to your kids, your spouse, your grandkids that debt is a killer? It ruins lives, breaks up marriages, and can leave you in bankruptcy court if not handled with care and prudence. My financial 10 commandments for millennials will help you and your families, and they are as follows, and I talked about them last week, but I am going to hammer them home because it's just too important not to talk about, in my view. Number one, no student loan debt ever. And if you do have to get some loans, do not co-sign, parents, grandparents. They have to get it on their own. Because when the money comes due, you'll be wanting to retire. And guess what? You may not be able to, especially if the amount's very, very large. So I've seen a lot of cases like that where the parents co-signed and rue the day they did. Okay? Because it's the kid's dumb enough at 18, 19, doesn't have a clue what they're doing. But you should have been smarter at 40, 50, 60 than to co-sign them. I know you love your kids, you know, but that's not the way to show them. Take them out shopping. Do not co-sign the student loan. And do not let them get student loans unless absolutely, absolutely necessary. Okay? It's not a decision to be entered lightly. Okay? And don't, you know, basically you're taking all your future income and signing it away. Not all of it, but in some cases, a sizable portion of it. Number two, no credit cards. Add their name to one of your cards to get them going on a credit history. Okay? Client told me about this. You can add their name. Credit history will start for them. But do not start opening credit cards. You need a credit history. I get it. But do it in a risk-free way, okay, as much as possible. Three, no auto loans. Pay cash. Somebody told me they got an auto loan on a brand-new Jeep, and they're paying over $700 a month in an auto payment for a Jeep. Now, don't get me wrong. Those Jeep heads are cool, and they're going off-road on the test drive and everything else. But do you know how fast they depreciate? They throw off no cash. They eat up your money. And at $700 a month, you're out of your freaking mind. Please stop with the auto loans. Pay cash. Go to a lot of these places and get a perfectly nice car for 10 or 12 grand. Save your money. Buy the car. Take good care of it. And it'll probably get 10 years out of it. All right? And then take your cash flow, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Oh, we'll talk about it right now. Number four, the biggest one is start saving automatically. My rich clients do this, and my not-so-rich clients don't. Need I say more? Be rich. Save automatically. I can't get any more blood. The rich ones save automatically. The not-so-rich ones don't. Okay? They figure they'll get around to it someday. Okay? So if you want to be rich, save automatically. All right? Pretty blunt, but I'm in that mood this morning. Number five, buy a home, but only if you can get a 15-year mortgage. Your payment will be higher. Save tens of thousands in interest and be free from those SOBs at the bank. Just kidding. Lori and I were driving down I-95 yesterday, and we saw a guy in a truck towing his little house to a new location. So here he is in the truck on the right lane between exits 88 and 89 northbound on I-95 with a little house. And the thing couldn't have been more than 650 square feet. But he had the door open and the screen door, and you could see his clothes and his furniture in the little house while he's going 55 miles an hour in the right lane. And I said, he's just moving it to another location, you know? So hey, no payments, and you're mobile. You got to love it. Only in America. Only in America. This was not a mobile home. This was a little house, okay? It's like the size of a foyer of some houses that you see. But I just got a kick out of it. Number six, leave 1 to 1.5% of your new home value in a home improvement account. So when you go to buy your house, make sure you can put $300-$400 away in a home improvement account, because the banks want to lend you to the limit, but you do not want to do that. Okay? You want to cut that back. Thanks, Tim Bray, for this advice. Never thought of it until you said it, but it's true. Leave $300 or $400, buy less house, put that money in cash for a home cushion and whatnot. So we'll talk about the other four financial Ten Commandments for millennials. I haven't put it in PowerPoint, so I'm not sending it out yet. I have to get approval through my my boy Luciano there at IFG, but I eventually will put it in PowerPoint when my 25-year-old comes home and helps me, and we'll be able to send that to you also. If you have any questions or you'd like to make an appointment during the week, go to my website, obrienretire.com. Hit the Retirement Ten Commandments button, and we're more than happy to send that PowerPoint to you. If you'd like to make an appointment, just email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com, and we'll set you up with an appointment or anything else you need. Or if you have any questions, feel free to call and let me know. My door is open to anybody, no matter if you have $100 or $100 million. I don't care. I'm looking to help nice people. And you get to check me out, and I get to check you out. And I work by myself, and one person came in and asked me what happens if something comes to you. And I said, well, I said, there's a zillion guys at the firm that want to handle your account, but I'm also looking for interns to train the right way, not product pushers, but the right way to run your portfolios. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you for listening. Brothers Band, Jessica, number one song and album of the year, 1973. I know I'm dating myself, but I just don't care. I hope Dickie Betts, who fell in his backyard last week and was in a coma. I heard the surgery was successful for him, and he's recovering and he's doing better. He wrote the song, and he's the guitarist on the album. He was left after Duane Allman died in a motorcycle crash at the age of 24, one of the greatest rock guitarist, blues guitarist of all time. Anyway, back to the show, the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well. And we were talking about the financial Ten Commandments for millennials. Number one, no student loan ever. Two, no credit cards. Three, no auto loans. Start saving automatically. Number four, buy a home only if you can get a 15-year mortgage. Number five and number six, leave a little bit of money, $300 to $400 a month on your average home for home improvements, so the house stays in good repair as you do own it. Number seven, this is controversy. This is off the radar. This is something that no one else will probably tell you. I can't say no one, but I haven't heard it yet. After the baby and grandbaby is born, open a custodial account in their Social Security number and start buying great companies after setting up an automatic deposit. Avoid 529s. Their investment choices stink. Everybody pushes 529s. The only good thing about 529s, in my view, is they make you automatically save because you can do an automatic draft from your bank account. You can do the same thing by just creating a bill and making a check out to Pershing LLC every month. I'll deposit it in the account, and when you get a couple $1,000 put aside, we'll buy a few shares of different great companies. I think, and it's my opinion, we'll do much, much better with our own investment choices than having some preset program that some politically connected mutual fund or annuity company sold to the state authorities for their state 529. I do not like their investment choices, and I think you can do better on your own. And that's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. Number eight, big mistake by parents. Do not assume your baby is college-bound. I have 20-year-olds starting businesses and are millionaires by the time they're 30, 35 years old with no student loan debt. Some of your kids are not academics. They're hands-on. They're going to be successful no matter what they choose to do. College is one of the routes you can go. I think it's been overemphasized. There are people in college that should not be there. They should be doing something else. Kid called me last week. He said he's starting to make $2,000 to $3,000 a week with a job in Boston, something to do with tugboats. I don't know what it is. I said, you better start automatically investing. He goes, my father's been listening to you, and he's in my ear. And I go, way to go, Dad, because that is the key. If he starts now at 24, he's making a lot of money. You know, he's not an academic kid. That's all right. Every kid has their strengths. Some are mechanical, and they're brilliant mechanically. Some are more artistic. It all depends. Do not push the kid just because you did it. I have three sons. None of them are in the business. They're all gone off their own way. Plus, I don't think anybody should come into this business until you're 35 years old, okay? Because you don't know life yet. You don't know people. You know, you're just going to product push because that's what the firm is going to tell you to do. So please be smart about it. And realize each of your kids is going to be very, very different, okay? Number nine, be a lifelong learner. I talk to many smart people every day, and I try to learn from them. I read constantly and are looking up companies and trends on the computer, talking to clients in different industries, what do you see, what's going on, always trying to learn. I think it keeps you young, and it keeps you interesting, too, if you're paying attention and a lifelong learner. If you love history, I know a young fellow, and he loves to read about medieval history. This kid knows more about medieval. I love it. That interest is going to stay with him for life, and I think it's going to make him a very interesting person. Number 10, this is the final one of our financial 10 commandments for millennials. The most important decision you're going to make, your kid, your grandchild's going to make, is who you marry. All the money in the world won't help you if you marry the wrong person. Listen to your parents. Don't try to rescue someone. That usually doesn't work. They need to stand on their own two feet. And I've seen a lot of those stories, too. And you have to know, you have to have the money talk right away. What do you owe? What's going on? How are they with money? The person good with money has to run the checkbook. Okay? The person bad with money, all right, has to contribute, and the money has to be doled out to them. And that's just the way it is, okay? If they're both bad with money, don't get married. Stay single. Just screw up your life. Don't screw up two lives, okay? If you're bad with money, don't get married, okay? Or find someone that you'll give that responsibility to. If you're both savers and you're really good with money, you guys are going to do great, okay? But don't go to them for a loan because they're not going to give you one. Just kidding. So sometimes I get the question, how do you become rich? I love this question. But it's probably the question that more scams come from than any other question. Because everybody wants a shortcut, right? The greatest investment book ever written is The Tortoise and the Hare, right? Nobody wants to be the tortoise. Discipline, steady, gets there. Everybody wants to be the hare. Choom, choom, right? All over the place, trying to get there quick, all right? From my observations of doing this for 38 years, I've met poor people, I've met middle-class people, I've met rich people. I'm talking about monetary, okay? But my view of rich is very, very different because of the 38 years I've been in the business. From my observations, it comes from being happy and optimistic. First of all, your health is the most important thing, other than a good marriage and healthy kids. Pride in doing a job, a good job, no matter what you do, leads to a rich life. I've seen people inherit large estates, okay? They were born into very wealthy families, okay? And I've seen them handle it well and go on to lead productive, happy lives. And I've also seen it lead to drug abuse, divorce, and sometimes even suicide, okay? So if they were both wealthy, what's the difference, right? You think money's the answer to everything? It's better to have money than not to have it? I would agree with that. But what's the difference if they were both born into it? One handles extremely poorly, and one handles it very, very well. I believe it comes from within, and how you feel about yourself and how you were raised. They say the voices you hear all your life in your head are those of your parents while growing up. So both my parents, my dad died in 11, mom died in 2012, I still hear their voices. You never, ever, ever lose their voice. Okay? But an inner confidence and optimism, I think, is the most important gift you can give to your children and grandchildren. It attracts success and good people. So the bottom line is yes, you inherit a lot of money. It can be a gift or a curse. But more importantly, it's what you think of yourself and the inner optimism. And there's nothing like someone doing a good job, no matter what the job is. I don't care if you're a janitor. If you're proud of what you do and you do a good job, it doesn't matter. But do a good job and raise your self-esteem. And then give. Give back. Help out people that need help that can't pay you, that can't help you. That's a gift. If you can learn to do that and help people. And I see it all over the place. I see neighbors helping neighbors. Elderly can't, they can't, snow removal at their house. They'll get out and shovel. I have a neighbor, he thinks I'm old. And he's older than me, and he comes over and does my he does my walkway. And I was like, what are you doing? He goes, I know you like do it by hand, and I want to help you out, blah, blah, blah. Just a good guy, you know. Comes over, he needs something, it's done, you know. So it's one of those things where life is too short and too precious not to be optimistic, happy, do a good job, and try to help people when you can. All right, before we go, we got 2 minutes for this segment. The state of Connecticut pulled a fast one this week, okay? If you do not fill out their form for the IRA pension distributions for allowances that they popped on all the custodians this week, they have mandated starting this week that we have to withhold the top rate of 6.99, which is 7%, from your state withholding. So even if we had mandated 3, 4, 5, all right, if you don't do this form and update it, and all the custodians are sending out letters to people to do it, then they're going to withhold, in some cases, double, or, you know, if you were doing zero, they're going to withhold a 6.99. So, are they trying to bring in more money short-term to shore up their budget short-term? What happens when everybody gets a refund next year for this over-withholding that's going to happen inevitably with tens of thousands of people, okay? Isn't people another reason to leave the state? They're out of their minds. Hartford never stops with these short-term budget gimmicks. Come on, guys. Come on. Stop it. Stop it with this crap, okay? Because you're just screwing yourself up for next year. What are you doing? Midterm, mid-September? You're changing the withholding rates? And if they don't do a form in 10 days, you're going to go to the max 6.99? You know, that really ticks me off. But in any case, we're going to stay optimistic. This is Dennis O'Brien, the Retirement Life Investing Show. If you like my Retirement 10 Commandments or an appointment, go to www.obrienretire.com. Thank you for listening to me at 94.9 FM. We got to keep John Fuller happy, don't we? See you in a few. Thanks. Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, Dennis O'Brien, president of O'BrienRetirement.com. Hope everybody's doing well. You know what they say when you retire? According to Gene Perrett, he says, when you retire, you switch bosses from the one who hired you to the one who married you. Hey, hey, hey. Anyway, I hope everybody's doing well today. And, you know, it's one of these days where I'm so glad I'm not watching TV. I'll tell you, it's just crazy out there and everything else. All right, so I've always told you guys, I run three portfolios. The income portfolio, looking for income, 6, 7, 8% current cash coming out of the portfolio. These are investments. They go up and down. So my friend Luciano's listening. Don't worry. It has to be right for you. They are not CDs, not guaranteed, everything else. But they are liquid. I don't buy anything illiquid, okay? So that's the key. The second portfolio I want to talk about a little bit is called tactical. I use ETFs, usually iShares, okay? I rank them all every night, and I look for the bottom 10, the top 10, and what's going on and everything else. So it kind of it's an interesting approach because on the tactical side, the banks got hit last week. The regional bank index, Bank of America, all the banks across the board got knocked down. Not a lot, but they got 2-4%, which is a lot for the banks because they don't move as much, okay? So I'm getting very interested in the bank area because I don't know if the Federal Reserve keeps raising rates or not, but these banks are domestic. Bank of America closed two branches there because the millennials are not going to branches. So this is giving the banks excuse to close the bricks and mortar. This goes right to their bottom line, okay? This isn't going away. Plus, on the regional bank index, the Fed has allowed banks, I think it's under $250 billion, they've relaxed the regulatory thumbs on them from 2009 and have allowed them now to lend a little bit more to businesses, okay? So with these less regulatory pressure and being down right now and being able to close some of the bricks and mortar and high cost centers that they run, I think it's a very interesting area, and I would definitely take a look at it, and I will be buying into this area probably next week if they stay down. Okay, if they run up, I don't chase, but it's possible. So take a look at that area. If you're interested, we'll talk about it. Okay, the cannabis index is holding up very well, all right? If you remember a couple of months ago, I told you to take a look at it, and, you know, of course, it ran up probably 60% in 2 months, okay? Did I know it was going to do that? No. I knew it was cheap, but that's why you got to get in early, and if you hit it, you hit it, you know? Well, it came off a little bit, but not that much. Not that much. So I'll hopefully get a little cheaper because I have some people that want to add to the positions, but we may not get the chance before the next blast off comes. I just don't know. Okay. The other area that's very attractive that has not run up is the Robotics and Artificial Intelligence Index. I think there's 28 companies in the index, but 21 of them are in Asia. Asia is very depressed because of the tariff war. Okay. So my view, the robotics, artificial intelligence, it's coming. I think trucks will be run by robots. I think drones will be delivering stuff everywhere. I think the jobs that we assume are going to be there will not be run by human beings, but artificial intelligence. So chip companies like NVIDIA, which is based in the U.S., and a lot of these companies that are going to supply this technology are going to catch fire one of these days. That's my opinion, okay? Like the cannabis index did. But I don't know when, I don't know how much, but I like to lay down my bets when they're out of favor, nobody wants them. You know? You got to be smart about it, don't chase. But I like that area and I would put some new money. You give me money and tell me you want growth and you want it, I'll put a little money in that area. And you don't believe me, ask my clients, whose names I will not give you for privacy reasons. On the millennial portfolio, the third portfolio run is I call the millennial portfolios. And that's where the Amazons and the Googles of the world are in those portfolios, okay? I don't care how old you are, but I do change the percentage in the portfolio based on your risk tolerance, okay? So in that area, in the millennial area, Facebook is still down. It's trading, you know, ran up to 217. It's 160 to 170, bouncing around like a hot chili pepper. I'm adding positions there. Apple breaking new highs at 225 this week, buying it because they're on another new product cycle. I think they surprised everybody with how robust the product cycle is. And that iOS software, okay, that's their secret sauce. Because once you're in the iOS world, you pretty much are not going to leave it. So all the products just leverage out that iOS advantage they have. They don't give the software out, so it's not hacked. Although sometimes I get a weird you've won a contest thing, so I think it's a cookie or one of those things. It's hanging around the phone. But for the most part, I think Apple is my view. And if it's right for you and you feel it too, let me know. But I think it's going much, much higher. That's my opinion. So take it for what it's worth. And if you're a new investor coming in with money from the bank, okay, and I've talked to a couple of you this week, they're going to start putting money in and then doing the monthly automatic deposit out of the bank, ACH it in. I'm going to start you off probably on the income side because we're having a sale right now in that area, and you're new. So I can't buy Apple for a new investor, just, you know, unless you're a very unusual person. Because I got to get to know you. So when things go down a little bit, you're screaming at me, then, you know, chances are, you know, we have to cut back your risk quite a bit. U.S. Treasury is at 2 to 3%. Sound good? Up to you. Some people, it's fine. You know, some people don't care. Tax-free municipal bonds, maybe that's for you. We can look at that area, too. You know, you're not going to earn more than 3%, but who knows? You know, maybe that's for you, too. So there's a lot of things we can talk about when you come in and see where you're at. The first thing I ask for is your statements. I want to see what your assets are. I want to see. A couple came in the other day, and they gave me all their assets, which were pretty good. I said, okay, give me your debts. And they said, we have any debts. I go, I could just reach over the desk and hug you right now. Because I see some bad cases where people are full with debt. And you wonder why I rail about it, you know. So they start laughing. I go, are you really going to reach over and hug us? I go, I want to. But, you know. And they said, yeah, they're just. And they said, we got the greatest gift from our parents when we first got married 40 years ago. Dad set us down and said, this is the way you should do it. And I said, that sounds familiar. And they go, what do you mean? I go, see this book? And I held up the Automatic Millionaire book by David Bach. That's exactly what happened to David Bach's clients, David and Sue McIntyre. Parents sat him down, said, this is how you do it. So now the financial Ten Commandments for millennials, yeah, I'm just borrowing common sense stuff from what your parents told you, what David Bach has relayed from the McIntyre story, and stuff I've seen, and putting it in a list of rules for these young people, okay? Because the credit industry, they want to get them. Jennifer Garner, Tom Selleck wants to get you when you're old. Jennifer wants to get you when you're young and dumb. But they want to get you, okay? And the millions they're getting paid by the credit industry to get you, and all that money goes to colleges and all that debt, taking some of the many worthless classes and whatnot, but the debt never goes away. Debt never goes away. You don't have to go to college to be a lifelong learner. I'm not telling you not to go to college. Don't get me wrong. Education is the greatest gift of all. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. But you don't have to go to college to be smart. I met a ton of very, very smart people. One thing about America is you meet smart people wherever you go. How'd you do that? I always ask, how'd you make your... I was sitting at Red 36 Bar one time. This guy comes in and says, is that your boat out there? And he says, it's a 68-foot giant boat. I said, how'd you make your money? I have no... And he was telling me. He goes, he owns the largest used car dealer in Central PA. And his girlfriend's in the car business. They met at an auction. And we got talking away and everything else. And everything. Sharon Starrs, and I was telling him what I do on the radio. Go, you want to come on the radio show? He goes, no way. I don't want to be a target. The smart ones never brag. He goes, yeah, I have this boat, but nobody in Central PA is going to see this boat, obviously, with no ocean around. So he goes, I do that away, you know, from where I live. So, but, you know, I'm always trying to, curious, you know, how did you do it? I'm always asking people so I can relay those secrets back to you. And they're not secrets. A lot of it's just common sense. Okay? But I'll tell you one thing they don't do. They don't have car loans. They don't do credit cards. And if they buy property, they do it on an accelerated mortgage basis. All right? And student loan debt? A lot of these guys went to the school of life and learned the hard way. So anyway, if you want to come in and talk, I'd love to meet you. Either way, I love what Ramona says from Whaling City Ford. Come in, I'd love to meet you. I think that's pretty cool what she says. And the fact that I'm repeating it and remember it, it tells you it's an extremely effective advertising technique. But I would like to meet you and talk to you and see where you're at and see if I can help. If not, you just have a person you can call for advice. Nothing wrong with that. We can all need help from time to time. I have a bunch of people I call for advice from different things. You never know. So anyway, if you like my Retirement 10 Commandments, or make an appointment, just email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com. Go to my website, obryanretire.com, or call me during the week at 860-415-9614. Leave a message, and I'll be sure to get back to you. And I wish you and your family a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Get out there. The sun is just shining. It's absolutely wonderful. We'll talk to you soon. Take care, and bless you all. Bye-bye.